This is a Cancer Action New York news conference, a tele-news conference. We have gathered on these telephone lines today to talk about the 2011 New York State Comprehensive Cancer Control Plan. And the purpose in talking about this cancer control plan is to transform it step-by-step into a cancer prevention plan. On the call with us today is our primary speaker, David Carpenter, MD. Dr. David Carpenter is a medical doctor. He is the current director of the SUNY Albany Institute for Health and Environment. Dr. Carpenter will speak for 10 minutes. Lou Shepard is a founding member of Cancer Action New York. He's on this call. He's going to talk to the media about our frustrations with trying to bring change when the system is dead set against it. And it is largely a matter, when you cut the bone, get right down to the bottom of it, it ends up being commerce given top priority. I will speak after they're done speaking, and I'll talk about what action items we want to exist in the 2011 Cancer Control Plan. Dr. Carpenter.
Well, some of you have heard me talk before, and specifically on the issue of persistent organic pollutants and the health effects that are resulting from exposure to them. I'll start by talking about them, but I think I'll then also say a few words about cancer from two other classes of chemicals that are of concern, that being air toxins and carcinogenic metals. Now, the persistent organic pollutants are chemicals, some of them man-made, most of them actually man-made, but some of them naturally occurring, that are very difficult to break down both in the environment and in the human body. Probably the most classical member of this persistent organic pollutant family is dioxin. Dioxin is the dangerous agent that was in Agent Orange, the herbicide that was sprayed in Vietnam, that was also used at various places within North America. Dioxin is rated by every international and national agency as a proven human carcinogen. And because it is a carcinogen, the Environmental Protection Agency treats it as a substance for which there is no safe level of exposure. In other words, if you have evidence that dioxin causes cancer at higher concentrations, you can extrapolate down to zero concentration. And while the risk increases with the dose, the conclusion is that there's no concentration that doesn't increase the risk of cancer. Now, the other substances in the classic persistent organic pollutant category include polychlorinated biphenyls that were man-made, and a series of chlorinated pesticides such as DDT, hexachlorobenzene, and a whole variety of others that have different chemical structures, but they all have common features in that they contain a number of chlorines around complicated benzene rings. All of these compounds are rated as probable human carcinogens, that is PCBs and the chlorinated pesticides. And the reason it's not a stronger relation than that is that humans are exposed to mixtures of these compounds, and so it's very difficult to identify when one gets cancer that it's due to one specific chemical and not one other. Each of them has been demonstrated to cause cancer in experimental animals when you can control the exposure. Now, there are some new POPs on the horizon that have been less well studied, but because they're persistent and because some of them are structurally related to the PCBs and dioxins, they are also likely to be carcinogens. And that includes the brominated flame retardants that are impregnated into upholstery, computers, and other industrial products. It's certainly valuable to reduce the danger of things burning, but these compounds are persistent, and they have bromines rather than chlorines, but they're very similar to PCBs. In addition, now we're becoming very concerned about the perfluorinated compounds. These are the active ingredients that were in Scotchgard, which has now been withdrawn from the market. It's also in Teflon. These are not fat soluble, but they are persistent. They bind to proteins, And the animal studies that have been done to date indicate that they're also probably carcinogenic, although the evidence is not nearly so strong. So how do we get exposed to these compounds? Well, we can eat them, we can breathe them in, or we can absorb them through the skin. With the exception of the perfluorinated compounds, they're all fat-soluble, so they're very easily taken in regardless of what route of exposure. The major route of exposure for most people is ingestion. And these compounds are in all animal fats, and there are a variety of reasons why they still are in animal fats, even though we haven't made and manufactured most of these for something like 30 years. That is that they are persistent. We've consistently in agriculture fed animals the waste fat from animals that are slaughtered, and so we're recycling these persistent organics, and that really must stop. Now, these are not the only carcinogens that are in the environment. There is very strong evidence that many air pollutants that we breathe in cause cancer. Everyone knows about asbestos. Asbestos isn't released from smokestacks, but it is something that can be inhaled and causes cancer. And there just yesterday was a major advisory on old homes that have vermiculite in the attic, because vermiculite was mined in Libby, Montana, and when it's stirred up, it can result in asbestos exposure because the vermiculite was contaminated with asbestos and caused cancer. But other contaminants, polyaromatic hydrocarbons that are released from combustion, from coal-fired power plants, from a variety of combustion sources, these are also carcinogens and cause particularly lung cancer, because it's the lung that becomes the repository when these are breathed in. Finally, there are a number of carcinogenic metals. And as a matter of fact, the number one compound that is considered by the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, the number one contaminant in the U.S. is arsenic. Now, arsenic is a natural element. It's not man-made. So it's present in soil. It's present in a variety of coals. And it's present in bedrock, so that the major source of exposure of concern to humans is from drinking water, particularly drinking water if people are on wells. Now, the U.S. government at the end of the Clinton administration proposed changing the standard for arsenic in drinking water from 50 down to 10 micrograms per liter. And in the Bush administration, they resisted that initially, but then with the National Academy of Science report coming out on arsenic indicating how carcinogenic it was, it is now our national standard. The problem is many people are on well water, and they have no idea what the arsenic concentration is. We need to have arsenic identified as a very dangerous metal. Now, unfortunately, arsenic is not the only carcinogenic metal. Many of the metals at higher exposures are carcinogenic and cause cancer in animals. But of the carcinogenic metals, arsenic is one of the greatest and most serious risk. Other metals known to cause cancer include nickel, manganese, cadmium. Routes of exposure vary, but they're often inhalation. That's especially true for cadmium. Cadmium is an ingredient in cigarette smoke and adds to the carcinogenic effects of smoking. So we know a number of these very dangerous carcinogens, and the issue today really is a focus on those chemical substances which we've identified as causing cancer, and making very directed efforts at reducing human exposure to those. I'll stop there and let Lou and Don give their presentations.
Well, that was wonderful. Lou, you tell the, you know, our audience about the obfuscation you've discovered and encountered, the lack of the hesitancy to just open one's mouth and talk about pollution and cancer. And this, well, asbestos is a chemical that Dr. Carpenter named, and we believe very strongly in naming chemicals and knowing where they're at in the environment and knowing how to reduce our exposure. Go ahead with, you know, some of your asbestos, you know, knowledge as well, though.
Okay. One of the things that I learned was that the hazards of asbestos were known in 1897, and I think we all know how long it has taken to remove that sort of thing from the commerce in this country. But recently I just heard about the Quebec being people protesting the fact that they were shipping this stuff overseas. Well, that's just a good example of how slow government is to remove some of these dangerous chemicals from the environment. I've been a member of Cancer Action for some time, about 10 years actually, and one of the things that I did was to get on the internet and check out the New York State Consortium on Cancer. And I found that there were many, many physicians and hospitals and organizations on this particular signed up for this particular group. And then I checked their schedule for meetings, and there didn't seem to be any meetings scheduled. And so I came to the conclusion that this was a really a great example of obfuscation as far as getting the message out as far as cancer prevention and actually talking about it. Now, Don and I have gone to the Environmental Management Council of St. Lawrence County and talked to them. And one of the things that I said to them in one of the meetings was that what we need to do is just keep talking about this. And I think it's great that people are beginning to talk about this big C word. And I think by getting this in the conscience of people, that's a good way to go to get some of this stuff done. Don and I have gone to town councils and requested that they write letters to the FDA and also to the New York State Department of Health. And we've been working with the our local Department of Health, and we've also worked with the legislature to try to get them to write letters and also to initiate some of these real cancer prevention education programs. And so it's been rather frustrating, this whole process. But I believe that prevention really is the way to go. And we have to just keep working at this to try to get the message out that a lot of the cancers are really very much preventable. And I think that there's been estimates as high as 85% of the cancers are caused by what we expose our bodies to. So, with that said, I think that I will pass the microphone, so to speak, the telephone to Don. Okay?
Well, thanks, Lou. The purpose, truly the very most central purpose of this, you know, this conference today is to help the public become, you know, this is one way of helping the public become aware of a process that exists in New York State for bringing change on cancer and pollution. There is a New York State Comprehensive Cancer Control Plan. The first one of these plans was brought into being in 2003, and in that plan it said goal number two was to reduce exposure to environmental carcinogens. You know, chemicals, pollution that causes cancer in the environment, reduce exposure to that for New Yorkers. Well, as the years have passed by, and we've now come to 2010, which is the year when the plan, this first plan, was to, you know, finish up and a new plan will be created, we asked Department of Health, New York State Department of Health, what has been accomplished in reducing exposure to pollutant carcinogens. And they pointed to the New York State DEC ban on open waste burning. That certainly is a very important step toward bringing an end to pollutant exposures. Our big concern, though, is that the Department of Health itself has done very little, if not nothing, to educate the public about this message that Dr. Carpenter and Lou have been talking about for several minutes here now. Presenting the science and the experience, the history, on pollution and cancer. New York State Department of Health, one document they pointed to that they had produced that I should be, you know, given credit for in their estimation, was a paper about exposure to large fires. Certainly it's not healthy to breathe the smoke from large fires, but to set that out before the public, before they set out before the public this matter of the food supply being contaminated, is certainly only one more example of government choosing to place commerce above everything else. Top priority goes to commerce over public health. Think about it. There's nobody has any dollars to lose in having the public told not to breathe the smoke from large fires. But there certainly is a monetary aspect to this matter of telling the public to reduce their consumption to little or no animal fat because of the presence of these persistent organic pollutant contaminants in all the animal fat and the significant cancer risk that's imposed by food consumption. New York State Department of Health has an advisory on wild fish because of the POPs. But there's another situation. People aren't selling wild fish. There's no money involved. New York State Department of Health hesitates, has hesitated, will continue to hesitate to educate the public on the persistent organic pollutants in the beef and the pork and the cheese and the ice cream and the milk and the eggs and the chickens. And it is because of placing commerce at highest priority. And what we're all about here today is to have a cancer prevention plan that places public health as top priority. And we want the Department of Health to start by making a priority action item in the 2011 Cancer Control Plan, making the very first priority item be that they would produce a standalone educational piece on the POPs cancer problem. You know, name the chemicals, where are these chemicals at in the environment, the food supply, all the animal fat, and how does one reduce exposure, reducing consumption of animal fat. And they need to do that. They need to include the science of how much cancer risk is imposed, because there's a pretty good estimate of that that has been created by the scientists, exists in the scientific literature, this quantitative risk assessment subject area. In addition to producing the document, we want another action item to be that the New York State Department of Health would conduct a series of news conferences around New York State presenting this document to the public and explaining why it's so important that they would all learn what it has to say. And if we can have that for the 2011 cancer plan, we will indeed have a cancer prevention plan. And I'd like to answer some questions for the media now.
Don, this is Dave Lucas at WAMC. How confident are you that you could convince the Department of Health to actually do this? I know you've been crusading for a while on this, and they seem to turn a deaf ear toward you.
Yeah, I'm not confident of it at all. I think they will not do it. The only reason they won't do it because of what Cancer Action New York does as an individual entity. It is only if we can spark the interest of the public and get the public to be calling for know, just the, it's the right to know. It's the knowledge that exists that much of this research is paid for by taxpayers' dollars. Much of this research was done with the promise that cancer, the war on cancer, will be won. There's been a lot of support for the research. It is time to put the research into effect by educating the public toward exposure reduction and then, and thus cancer prevention. What we don't expect, the Department of Health is totally, there are so many stories, you know, around this. I've tried to educate Assemblymember Gottfried, being the health chair of the Assembly. Year after year, I would go to Albany, make presentations to his staff. I've gone through just many, many staff members as the years have passed by. And most recently, we just decided, okay, we want to talk to Assemblymember Gottfried. I made every effort with telephone calls, emails, the whole nine yards to just have a conversation with Assemblymember Gottfried about pollution and cancer, and he won't do it. It's endless. The obstacles that exist in a nation that puts commerce as top priority, the obstacles that exist to bringing change, what it means talking about pollution and cancer.
Don, could you give a specific example of how a big business has, in a way, blocked this scientific information from getting out?
I can give you a great example of that.
Where this has happened.
Yep. A very specific example of that is the US EPA's dioxin reassessment. US EPA has been trying to put together a exposure and health document on dioxin since before April of 1991. They went through several rounds of this, but in April of 1991 they started this current round of assessment, reassessment of dioxin, the amount of exposure and the amount of cancer risk that's imposed, and other diseases as well, other chronic diseases like heart disease and type 2 diabetes and attention deficit disorders, a whole spectrum of diseases caused by dioxin exposure. And I have now obtained the, you know, through a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act, the minutes of these meetings since way back in the 90s, as well as the comments that were made from the public, and the public includes industry. Well, the very first file, the one for 1991, has a letter from Dow Chemical Company, and I was on a conference call in, I think there was one in June, one in July, and then one in October. The most recent one was October 27th, I recall it very well. It was a meeting of the US EPA's Science Advisory Board Dioxin Review Panel. They were deliberating about what to do about this dioxin reassessment, and Dow Chemical Company was on the call. They had two people on the call. The American Chemistry Council had scientists on the call. The Vinyl Council, the Chlorine Council, all had consultants, scientific consultants on the call. And they were saying, don't finalize the reassessment. You know, don't make a final report that will go out to the public and that policy will be created, you know, in response to and that actions will be taken. Don't do that. We need to study this more. This is an age-old strategy of anyone who is an obstacle to good change. They'll just ask you to study this, and just create the illusion they're interested in further knowledge. But the true and correct facts of the matter are that once a lot of knowledge is accumulated that Dow Chemical Company and these other chemical corporations do not want to deal with, meaning cleaning up their dioxin-contaminated soils, stopping emitting as much of some of these other chemicals as they do, stepping back and thinking about the harm that can be caused by a new chemical, when that, you know, is on the agenda, so to speak, when that's on the stove, you know, when we're cooking on that, as in this meeting and with this dioxin reassessment, then these chemical companies hire a bunch of scientists to come out and say, study this more. A perfect example of, you know, where dioxin is a pops, exactly what we're talking about. This is why, and see the New York State Department of Health, all they have to do is see that going on. They are so careful about offending the industry. But they tell us, they say to us, watch EPA. You know, they tell us to wait for EPA to finalize dioxin reassessment before any major steps are taken. This is so, it's such an easy game to control. So Dow, you know, lobbies EPA and the DOH and these other health entities, they just all wait for EPA to act, and so it's all closed down. And yet the science just keeps accumulating year after year. People keep getting cancer year after year. it's not okay. We need to fix this problem, and it's a horrible problem.
All right, I have no further questions.
Okay. Well, that was a great question, because it goes right to the very heart of this matter. It truly is a matter of our country having placed commerce in top priority ever since it, you know, came into existence, you know, hundreds of years ago, and then the gradual harm that accumulated from doing that in matters of public health. We just build up a cancer epidemic that is caused by our very commerce, and we have to recognize that and grapple with it and deal with it. And I'm just so pleased to say that in Europe, only a few days ago, the European Parliament held a discussion of pollution and cancer, you know, right at the top level of their, you know, joint legislative efforts. And they're talking about pollution and cancer, and they were talking about what to do about it, what policy steps to, you know, bring into being, what to do to reduce the exposure of Europeans to chemicals that cause cancer. And how long will it be? How long will it be before such a discussion takes place in the New York State Legislature or Congress? I'm thinking a long time.
Now, focusing a little more locally, Donald, what's the status of your work with the local town boards and getting resolutions passed? What are the latest?
We have gotten resolutions passed. We've gotten more than a resolution passed by Canton. Canton has led on this right from the very start. In January of 2010, Canton did a resolution supporting education on what Dr. Carpenter just, you know, 15 minutes ago stated. They want that kind of education for their town of Canton residents, and they want it to come from the federal government, the state government. And recently we've had some resolutions. We keep refining the resolution. Our recent resolutions that have been passed by towns like the town of DeWitt down in Onondaga County, that was the best one so far. They call upon their own county, Onondaga County, to use their health department that is paid for by county taxpayers' dollars to educate Onondaga County residents about the chemicals that Dr. Carpenter and Lou and I have been talking about. Name the chemicals, where are they at in the environment, how do you keep them out of your body?
Now, what are the most recent local resolutions?
Okay.
I mean, really local, St. Lawrence County.
Yep, the most recent one that was passed in St. Lawrence County, I believe, was the one in Morristown. Town of Morristown passed one. We have them pending. We are kind of continuing to talk. This is the good thing. We're talking. We're talking to the town of Russell. We're talking to the town of Madrid. We're talking to the town of Waddington. And I think we're talking to the city of Ogdensburg. We're talking to all these local leaders, these policymakers, these people that do have the power to represent their constituency and vote, you know, so to speak, for cancer prevention education that reduces exposure to known pollutant carcinogens. And we're really hopeful in the town of Russell. We have a PowerPoint presentation that we're going to make to them on the second Wednesday in December. The town of Canton, we're going back to them to report to them about Dr. Carpenter's presentation at our public forum on pollution and cancer that took place on the 9th of November. So we're going to be in Canton Town Board meeting, Russell Town Board meeting this month, and it's just small steps. You know, we're going to take another small step with Canton. We want them to revise their resolution to call upon, we are intent upon putting the pressure on the St. Lawrence County Legislature to put the pressure upon the St. Lawrence County Public Health Department to produce the document that we have been describing in this interview, you know, this conference right here. We want our St. Lawrence County Health Department to put together, with the assistance of Dr. Carpenter, with the assistance of Dr. Jeanette Sherman, with the assistance of Cancer Action New York, this is not going to cost them any money at all, to put together a document on POPs and cancer risk for St. Lawrence County residents, and then do the news conferences, our county health department doing the news conferences here in St. Lawrence County. And you watch how fast people get educated. It would be, there wouldn't be a day went by that someplace in St. Lawrence County people weren't talking about this big change coming along.
All right. Thank you. I have no further questions.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Scott.
So thank you. Bye.
Okay, any more questions? That was a very, this Scott Dustin, he has proven himself to be an excellent media, you know, radio reporter, news director, an excellent, you know, citizen, and an excellent person. Year after year after year on the issues as they came along, whether it was funding the chipboard factory up here in the St. Lawrence River Valley, or whether it was getting cancer prevention education done in Albany or in St. Lawrence County, he's a good man. I really want to say honor to Scott Dawson with WPDM News. Well, is everybody ready to wrap it up?
I think we're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, David. You did a great job. And hopefully the state will honor your name for decades to come.
Well,
centuries
or that, or they'll blacklist me forever.
They'll honor you for centuries. We'll see you, Dave.
Okay, take care, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Donald Haas-Sieg with Cancer Action New York. We've just finished up with a telenews conference on pollution and cancer. This particular conference focused on the 2011 New York State Comprehensive Cancer Plan. I'm not going to call it a control plan. It will be a prevention plan. We're doing good work. We believe in this. It needs to happen. The public wants it. Viva the revolution. Bye.